So I am very, very picky about who I choose to listen to or take advice from in regards to anything diet and nutrition related. And a lot of this comes down to the fact that through my years of fitness modeling and the rigorous and quite aggressive dieting that comes as a result of that, I've not only experienced my own massive struggles, but I've also witnessed time and time again these horror stories of women experiencing adrenal fatigue and all sorts of hormonal imbalances and blowouts and bloating and just horror stories of dieting done incorrectly or dieting done in a way that isn't necessarily in alignment with the individual. And so these days, you know, I'm very mindful of considering, well, first of all, does this person have the results that I want? Does this person, would I want to swap places with them? And, you know, I'm a big believer, like, we wouldn't take wealth advice from a man who's living on the streets. So why on earth would we take dieting advice from someone who doesn't have what we want? And so also taking into consideration in that, well, not only aesthetics, but performance, you know, does this person look incredible, but their vitality levels are rat shit, you know? There's so many different levels to nutrition and its results, from aesthetics through to hormonal balance through to whether it suits the person's lifestyle financially, emotionally, time-wise, you know. And so dieting and nutrition really is such an individual thing, and I think too many people jump on a bandwagon without kind of stopping and considering, well, does this actually match my goals? Does this actually match my lifestyle? Does this actually match my headspace and my level of self-awareness and where I'm at the moment? And so Ellie Finlay is someone who I've had my eye on for some time. And as I mentioned in the episode itself, one of the things that drew me to her was the fact that she's consistent. You know, for as long as I've been following her, it's clear to see that there's not, she's not going through this yo-yo of, you know, super shredded to gaining a whole stack of weight. She's not going from, you know, super depleted to suddenly super vital and vice versa. And that's not to say she hasn't experienced, because Ellie speaks on that firsthand, that she went through the yo-yo. But the thing is, she's honest about that, and she's been through the trenches, and she's now preaching a different way. And I think that's really key. We have to go through the struggle in order to kind of find the light, right? Like I always say, challenge is the way. So yeah, what I really admire about Ellie, and what, as I said, what drew me to her was the fact that she is honest about where she's come from. She doesn't hide it. In fact, she speaks from that wisdom. She speaks from that struggle. And considering as well that when it comes to nutrition, and in particular aesthetics, it's really easy to do the whole smoke and mirrors thing, you know. It's really easy to hide behind Photoshop or hide behind, you know, these perfectly posed, perfect lighting, you know, photographs, which give the impression that someone's something different to what they actually are, you know. And on top of that, you know, I see it all the time, and I have done it myself, so I'm certainly not throwing shade here, but we see it all the time where fitness models in particular post the highlight reel and then disappear when things aren't great. You know, social media goes dead for a while. And that's not something I've witnessed from Ellie. And I am incredibly, incredibly mindful of who I choose to have join me on this show when it comes to anything nutrition related, for that very reason, because I think it's so easy for women who maybe aren't quite as empowered when it comes to body image or nutrition to get really lost in the smoke and mirrors of social media. And so that's definitely not something that I want to promote. That's definitely not something that I want to unintentionally build upon or expand upon. And so believe me when I say I sat on whether to have Ellie join me or not for quite a long time, because I wanted to make sure that she was definitely in alignment and in integrity with my message. And Ellie, if you're listening to this, I hope you realize that I fully fucking get behind what you're up to in the world. And yeah, really sit back and just draw some wisdom from this girl. I think she's going to do some pretty incredible things in the world. So without further ado, episode 75, I had to stop and think then, episode 75 of the Live Free Experience podcast. Let's get this show on the road. All right. Ellie Finlay, how are we?
I'm good.
I said your last name right, didn't I?
Yes, Finlay.
Cool. I have this terrible habit of getting people's last names wrong. So like I always make sure I check beforehand.
No, so good.
Beautiful. So I want to start off, because when did you compete? Your first comp was 2012, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago now, and I still get questions if I am going to compete again.
To what, are you?
You know what? No, I could not actually think of a worse time.
Yeah.
I'm in a really good place right now, and yeah, so I'm happy with where I'm at. Comps are definitely not where I'm at right now.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to start off because I remember. So I competed in 2013 for the first time. And I don't know, this might be taken as a compliment. It might be taken as otherwise, because I know what comps are like. They're very extreme.
Mm.
But it was actually you that inspired me to compete.
Really?
Yeah. So I remember seeing you on stage in 20, because did you placed in that comp, didn't you?
I did. I got second overall, but yep. I won my class.
Yeah.
So I was actually the shittest poser. Can I say that on here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was terrible. I was shaking in my heels. I was like, but it was the most terrifying experience of my life. But then I got hooked, like most girls do. And I did like 8 more after that. Wow. So, but yeah, thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, no, because I went to, because I kind of had I was playing around with the idea for ages about whether I wanted to compete or not. And then, yeah, I remember going to your comp and being like, yes, like, that's what I want to look like up there. And then when you won it, I was like, fucking ticked it.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, it was actually you that that inspired me.
Oh, and how did you go? I didn't...
No, the first year I competed wasn't so great because, and you know what it's like, I completely... No disrespect to my coach, but it was kind of a one-size-fits-all, you know, plan.
Mm.
And so... For me, like, my body just doesn't – I think I'm, like, slightly insulin resistant.
Yeah.
So because we kind of cut fats and kept carbs high and then, like, lowered the carbs down the closer in we got, my body just, like, went into cortisol storage and just, like, I was just bloated. Like, and no matter how hard – like, I stressed myself out so hard sticking to the diet because I was worried it wasn't going to work in time that, yeah, my body just wouldn't lose anything more. So, I mean, I looked good. I was lean, but I just looked bloated. Like, I had absolutely no shape through, like, my midsection.
Because, is that what you think, though? Is that just what you think? Is that what your coach said as well?
Well, I know, looking back, like, I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, like, I know how my body responds to, you know, like, when I am stressed, I know I store a lot of, like, fluid through my midsection. So I kind of wasn't aware of it at the time. But looking back, yeah, I can see it. The second year, I was way more chilled out and I came in, you know, in a place. But, yeah, came in heaps better shape, way leaner. But, yeah, you know what comps are like. They're interesting. I didn't realize you'd done 8.
Yeah, I did, like, 8 after my first one. So. Wow. Yeah.
So over how many years? Far out, spit it out.
I think it was honestly about 2 years. So
wow.
I was at uni at the time. I was actually doing occupational therapy. And I don't know if you have done this, but I gymcrastinated like hardcore. I'm like claiming that word where I would just go to the gym for like 2 to 3 hours just because I frothed off it and I didn't want to do my uni work. And honestly, I didn't enjoy OT. It wasn't really for me. It wasn't really hands-on enough. And then I ended up deferring OT. I did 2.5 years of it. And then I did my PT course because it was obviously my priority. As terrible as that sounds, gym was my priority over uni. And yes, and then I got my degree, cert. And
cool.
Yeah, all the rest is history. Now I'm a trainer. Coach.
Beautiful.
It's good. Yeah.
So fill me in then, because like you've said that you'll never compete again.
Well, no.
Not in the mindset now to compete.
No.
What can I ask why?
Look.
I think we're probably on the same page.
Yeah. So. Yep. And I think you actually have to experience it to get in this headspace, where so many girls want to compete nowadays, and I don't think they realize. I think they just kind of look at the short-term gain. Like, yes, you get really lean for a short period of time. And I love that and I love being disciplined. And I actually think I can be actually over-disciplined in the fact that I really had a lack of balance because once I was on that diet plan, anything which I strayed off of, I kind of counted it as a failure.
Yep.
And although I stuck to that plan like quite solidly, like during Christmas, I'm talking I was really square, rigid.
Yeah, yeah.
anything over that, and when I couldn't literally do it anymore, I really got a little bit messed up on the food side of things, in the fact that what to do after the plan. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I couldn't keep doing comps just because I wanted to have something to go for. Yeah. And I was literally on one extreme or the other. And eventually I was just like, man, I just can't do this anymore. I just want to be able to eat normally again. And I think about how I was before comps, and I was like, I wish I could just get back to that. But then you see girls look at you during comps and you'd be like, oh, I want to be that. But really, like, I'm just at a place now where I know what an extreme is, and I know what balance is. And I think I've really got it nailed down in the fact that I know how to have balance without going too extreme, and while keeping like the physique that I want.
Yeah.
So I think I had to go through the up and downs, obviously, to kind of get to where I am now. So,
So when you say like you'd go from one extreme to the other, are you talking like diet wise? Like you'd go from strict dieting to just whatever?
Yeah. And like, sort of, I think it kind of happened when I was, I think it was maybe 4 years ago now, I was prepping for WBFF and I actually didn't come in lean enough. And I couldn't do it. And I was really upset. I was really devastated. And after that, after I left my coach, and I'd with my coach for a really long time, for like 2 years, I just didn't really know what to do, and I didn't have a plan. I honestly, because I'd been dieting for so long, I wasn't really in the headspace to go to those extremes. But honestly, like, I always thought I had to be on a plan, and follow a written plan. And this is why I kind of preach on my Instagram as well. I'm like, I'm very against written diets. And I actually saw someone on their Instagram the other day, right? It's not the diet, it's what you do after the plan. And I think that's a good way to put it as well, because people aren't really getting clued up as to what to do after, you know, after a certain time. So this is just why I'm really all for flexible dieting, and also like kind of just figuring out your own food and not labeling foods. And I'm just so passionate about eating and food nowadays. Like, it's crazy. But I think that's just because I really went through a hard time myself, as far as, you know, blowing out and then like cutting back and then blowing out. It's a head game. Like, and especially someone who, like me, I kind of pride myself on my discipline. Like, when you find out like you can't really stick to something, it really like screws with your identity a little bit. But that was a while ago now. And flexible dieting has totally changed my life. No more written plans for me or my clients. Yes. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
I got to say, like, one thing that, I mean, I've been following your journey for on and off for some time. I kind of, and you possibly did the same, but I did the whole, you know, where I'd be like, anyone that was super into, because I did the yo-yo coming out of it as well, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd go through like stages where I'd be super into following fitness models, and I'd be like, you know, or anyone kind of in that realm, and I'd be like, yep, you know, I'm kind of going to get back to it. And then I'd be like, nope, and just completely unfollow everyone. So if you see me like following and unfollowing you,
next
time,
minute you unfollow me.
That's how embarrassing. But no, so like, having followed your journey for some time, like, what I admire about you is your consistency. And I think that's generally a good indicator, whether it be like in fitness or physique, or whether it be like business or financially or whatever area of life it is, if someone's consistent, like, I think that's generally a good indicator of like that they know what they're doing. Because I mean, I don't see you do these big, you know, where you're super super lean and then all of a sudden you've blown out, you know. And I think sadly in the fitness modeling industry, that's common.
It's super common. And like, you know, I actually, like, I speak to a fair few girls over my Instagram and that kind of thing about that kind of thing. And I really think it's always just one extreme or the other nowadays. And it just, it's not frustrating, but I think just people just need to realize that you can get the results you want. Just, you don't have to go to that extreme to get it, because you just have to think about long term. Like, people just get frustrated and then they stop completely and then they blow out and like, you just need to think about little actions every single day. So whether your macros are set a little bit higher, just so you're not starving yourself, so you still can go out, have, you know, meals with friends or whatever. Over the long term, you'll still like drop the body fat or gain the muscle mass that you want. Like, you know, as long as you're consistent with, you know, just being mindful and just being aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just have to remind yourself of the long-term picture. And look, I wouldn't exactly call myself patient. I just always have to remind myself all the time that, you know, long-term it'll pay off. Yeah.
So. I think that's a big a game changer, because I mean, the reason personally, part, not the whole reason, but a major part of why I got into fitness modeling was because, like, I was a PT back then, and it was, you know, for me, well, I want to look the part, or I want to look more the part, you know. Looking back, I'm like, Brie, you already looked the part.
But yeah.
In my head, you know, I was seeing these girls who were up on stage and I'm like, compared to them, I don't look the part, you know. That was, and that's not true, but that was what was going through my head at the time. So I jumped in with this idea of, you know, the short-term gain, thinking, not realizing, not fully comprehending that, like, the stage look isn't long term.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you spend 16 weeks or whatever it may be getting down to that physique, but it's not maintainable.
Nah.
You know, and so, yeah, for me, and it's taken some time, but for me, it has come down to, well, anything worth having takes time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it is that you've got to look at the long game all the time, as hard as that is, you know, always looking at the long game rather than the, you know, the short temporary game.
Yeah, definitely. And you, like, you look at some of the best athletes in the world, like, they're freaking consistent and, like, you know, it's kind of easy. I mean, for me, like, I kind of think about it, like, short term, like, you could maybe drop weight, like, you know, 12 weeks, but then that person would blow out usually or drop off the wagon afterwards. When you think about building muscle, like, that's where the hard work comes in, right? Because, you know, it's little chipping away at the gym every single day and looking at that long term picture. So it definitely is a headspace thing. Yeah, for sure is a headspace thing. And I like how you touched on comparing as well, because, like, I think that is such a big issue as far as Instagram and everything goes. And I don't know whether you saw a few of my posts on it recently. Yes. Have you seen it?
Yeah,
because I train a lot of women, and it's just crazy how much social media, like, gets in our heads.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. Like, what the? And, like, I used to be totally the same, like, can compare myself to other people, but, like, at the end of the day, those pictures can be photoshopped. But, like, your journey is completely separate to that other person's.
Exactly.
And one thing that my current mentor said to me is, like, Ellie, like, you don't know what she has been through.
Exactly.
Or what she is doing or her problems. So just really put that in perspective for me, because I know I've also been doing a lot of internal work this year. And, yeah, I think, like, it's really something we should be conscious about.
Definitely. I think as well, like, touching on that, and this isn't to badmouth anyone, but social media can be a lot of smoke and mirrors. And this was something that I found out, I guess, the hard way in those early years when I did get into the, you know, the whole fitness modeling kind, you know, side of things, where I had these women that I looked up to, and later found out that they were using clenbuterol or they were on, you know, testosterone boost or whatever it may be. And that's not to judge their decision.
I
that's not to say that's right or wrong. I think in some cases, if that's where someone wants to head, like, there's a space for it, you know. Yeah, that wasn't honestly put across on social media. And so it was really easy to just see these pretty pictures and go, oh my God, I want to be that. And, you know, how does she do it? But then not knowing that that was what was going on behind the scenes, you know? So again, it's that smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. And, like, most people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who's, like, a young girl who's just, like, looking at that picture.
Yeah.
And, like, being like, oh my gosh, like, look at me. Like, which is just ridiculous. And, like, I know some of the most beautiful girls who, like, you know, any girl would look at her and be like, oh my God, I want to look like her, who, like, thinks the same thing about herself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, you are your own worst critic. And, yeah, it's kind of a little bit sad, really, where there should be a little bit more awareness around that type of thing. So,
definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point.
So where are you at now? Like, I mean, you've said you're not interested in the competition side of things. You obviously still train super hard. So what drives you?
Look, honestly, I feel like I still need a change with my training.
Yeah.
I think, like, you kind of need to look at, you can only put, like, sometimes I think I can spread myself too thin.
Yeah.
In the fact that I can try and give 100% here and then 100% to my business and 100% to my diet. Right now, right now, like, I'm really trying to rein it in, because you know, when you're like, oh, I'm fine, I'm not sick. Like last week I lost my voice for like a whole week and I'm like, I just must be pushing it too hard. So like right now my priority is honestly my business and just getting my message out there and helping as many people and women as I can. I still obviously train like minimum 5 days a week, but like sometimes if I need to take it a little bit easier, go a little bit lighter, like, you know, maybe if it's just 30 to 40 minutes long, I don't know whether you see me say this in my Instagram, but sometimes after clients, I'm just wrecked. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes I have to be like, right, I'm going to give myself 20, 30 minutes, get as much as I can done, and then just sleep. Like we touched on before, like just being little consistent actions over time. And like, rather than frying myself out, I can just do a little bit, chip away at it, and then go home and do what I need to do. So like I am still training, like, but it's not a priority. I could honestly do more, but not right now.
So is that what you're selling to your clients as well? Like the concept of not necessarily having to make training the main priority, or are you sort of basing on, I would assume that you're basing on their goals as to whether they want that to be their main focus or whether it's secondary or?
I think it really depends on the person and kind of where they're at. Like sometimes life just happens.
Yeah.
Like say, for example, I don't know, like someone gets really, really sick, or one of my girls gets really sick and they'd be like, oh, but I'll lose progress if I don't come to the gym because I'm really sick. I was like, well, no.
Yeah.
Like it's clearly just your body telling you that you just need to relax just this week, chill out and just get back onto it next week. Yeah. Like that kind of mentality where like, remember, like adaptation happens in your rest time, not just in the session time. Yeah. So just having that balance is to know like when you feel tired, when you need to rest. It doesn't have to be go, go, go all the time. And this is where, like, as I preach in my Instagram, that it's a long-term sustainable change, not just the fact that it's bang, 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 7 days a week and then blow out and then stop. Yeah. Like, yeah, little actions over time and picking and choosing when to kind of like maybe have like a deload week and then maybe go like a little bit harder and get at it and just, you know, judging by how you feel.
I like what you said there. Like you touched on, you know, where you've got clients where they're concerned if they get sick that then they're gonna lose progress. I like the idea of I personally think that in life, all aspects of life touch, right? Like they're like cogs in a wheel, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like if one stops moving, they all stop moving. But if you've got one turning, it kind of impacts all, right? And so I like to think of it as, you know, like you might get sick and you have to take time away from the gym, but that's also an opportunity to work on another aspect of life. And so, you know, if they're all feeding into one another, as long as you're focusing on moving forward, however that may look, even if that's moving forward in terms of taking some rest time, you know, it's still momentum, it's still taking learning experiences and growing from them, even if it doesn't look like how you thought it would look, you know, being in the gym every day or whatever it may be.
And that's huge. Like I explain that to my clients too, where like the results-based model includes mindset, motivation, sleep, stress, general movement, nutrition and training. And it's just one part of it. So like I really think that's a benefit of having a coach in your corner as well, because like women are hardcore. Yeah. Like, you know, like there's 7 days a week, and like I really like the term work smarter, not harder. Yes. Like I think people think they need to be grinding every single day, where like, you know, rest is super important, mentality is important. If you're exhausted, is that really healthy?
So
I think that's a good way to approach it.
Even I mean, in my own world at the moment, like I think I told you I'm running a 3-day event this weekend, so it's like flat out just constant, like get everything finalized, and I'm having to continuously remind myself, like, sometimes stopping and slowing down is actually the quickest way to get momentum. You know, like it's like that whole, you know, the cliche, like tortoise and the hare analogy, like sometimes rushing isn't actually the quickest way. And so like this week in particular, I've taken more time to actually like stop and in the mornings, like I'm meditating and that sort of thing. And even though, like,
I need to do that.
Even though, like,
teach me.
Even though, like, in my head, it's like, oh my god, this doesn't make sense right now to stop and take 30 minutes to meditate when I've got all this stuff to do.
Yeah,
it's so funny because I look at where I was at last week, and you know, I was like on the verge of mental breakdown, you know, with this overwhelming schedule, to now where it's like, yeah, like I'm hanging in there and I'm actually finding myself getting more done because I've stopped and paused.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing that I had to learn, both in business and the gym and, you know, all aspects of life, that it's like, yeah, with the gym, you have to have a rest day in order to get that growth that you want.
Yeah. Slow down to speed up.
Exactly.
I think that's a good quote.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool. So what is the message that you're trying to send to women?
Okay, so too often I just see these written diet plans and go hard and then blow out and going too low, and it's crazy. Like, I think it's just the always off again, on again train. So basically I've kind of summed up like my little purpose in I help women go from frustrated to fierce through strength training and enjoyable eats.
Yeah.
In the fact that you can still go out with friends and have a burger and have a brunch and just be a little bit accountable for it and still get the results that you want. And you don't have to go on this chicken and broccoli comp diet shit, you know, like that's who I want to educate and that's who I want to help. Like, girls are wondering why they're blowing out on the weekends and they're like really under eating on carbs and fats and all the good things for hormone function and that kind of thing as well. So it's like people are thinking less is best or not eating is the way to do it, when it's not. Like, if your body is stressed out, like, is it going to want to drop body fat or is it going to like crave a lot? So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Perfect. So you touched on there, and if I can, I'd like to dig into this, but you touched on that this year you're doing a lot of internal work.
Yes.
Can you run us through that a little bit? Because I think this is huge. Like, everything changed for me with, you know, like, I went through adrenal fatigue and all sorts of, like, you know, just like huge, huge mental struggles post comp.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, like, I remember thinking the same thing. I wish I could go back to the way I thought about food pre-comp, you know, and I'd look like, I remember going to like food courts and stuff and watching people just eat Maccas or whatever. And I remember being like, fuck, like, I wish I could just do that without feeling like a piece of shit for eating Maccas, you know? And so, yeah, like, having gone through all of that, I've just totally lost my train of thought. I told you to be me that stuffed up. I just totally lost my train of thought.
Maccas, that's what I remember.
Yeah, that's sticking in my
brain. But you wanted to go back to that?
Yeah, like, so I wanted to go back to that. Yeah, and it was the internal stuff that was my train of thought. It was the internal stuff that kind of helped me move beyond that and kind of, I guess, rather than wanting to get rid of that part of my life and go back to before that, instead take it and kind of integrate it and learn from it.
Mm.
So, yeah, can you run us through? That was long-winded, but can you run us through?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think internally with food, like, I'm totally fine now. Like, that is my thing, food and training, that is my thing. I think it's more as far as getting my message out there, because I knew I wanted to reach more people. Like, I am quite an introvert. Like, I like my routine and I like, you know, when I'm at the gym, like when I'm eating, that kind of thing. More like even just starting to do regular Instagram stories and, like, you know, not giving a crap about like what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, like where I'm not caring about judgment or if someone will judge me or, you know, my posts. Like being okay with being still, like, you know, with training and training clients, like, it was easy for me just to, like, bury my head down, bum up, session, and then just not worry about doing an Instagram story.
Yeah.
Like, where I knew that I could just stay where I was and just, like, stay in the gym and keep doing my own thing, or I could just, like, break my comfort zone and get on the camera and, like, show people who I am and what I'm about and, you know, do a bloody Instagram story in the supermarket, like, which was really hard for me. Like, you know, it was really tough. But, like, once I did it, like, it was honestly, like, it just kept rolling over.
Yeah.
So more internal work in that kind of way, knowing that and learning about, I've been listening to a lot of abundance and vibration podcasts, that kind of thing. And like, it has helped me tenfold. And I've been trying to get into the meditation space, but I struggle with it. Honestly, I'm going to keep giving it a crack. But yeah, I've been really trying to delve into my own headspace and grow.
Can I ask what it is about the meditation you struggle with?
Stopping the monkey mind. You know how like they say you have to like really quieten that, and like I still think I struggle not to do anything when I know I have a lot of to do. Like I know that's where I need to work on. So I think meditation would be good for me, and the fact that I can really reflect on where I'm at. I still journal. Still do that kind of thing. I wake up and I like, you know, I practice manifestation, that kind of thing. Like the alarm. Do you have that alarm where you tell yourself what you are with like your words? Like sometimes it rates up what you are strong, you are that kind of thing. But as far as like just being still, I think I need to work on it.
Can I offer some advice?
Yes.
Because I was the same, like in terms of like the stillness, and I think we're similar in that we're doers. And so for me it was, put it this way, like I think that people meditate for one of two reasons. They either meditate because they're trying to avoid something, and they're trying to like push away something that they maybe don't want to touch on, like something that's suppressed or they've pushed down, or, you know, like life's chaotic. And so it's, oh, I'll just go meditate and it's not there anymore. Or they meditate because they're looking to grow. And I definitely think you'd probably be the second one. And so for me, like I had it pushed into my head, you know, get rid of the monkey mind. Like it should be just quiet. But that's not how my brain works. And so,
so you think while you meditate?
Yeah, absolutely. Because like in my mind, meditation is there to like, when we're doers, right, we're always, you know, okay, what's the next thing? Like, what's the next thing on my to-do list? Or like, oh, I've, you know, got to do this, blah, 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 blah. And so I now have kind of, I guess I've had to reprogram myself to think about it where it's, okay, well, I'm not physically doing anything. I'm not taking in external stimulus. And so this is just my time to just like pause, and whatever has to come up will come up. And so like this morning, for example, it was just, you know, the stress of like the business. I just made today's meditation about, as silly as it sounds, just like, you know how you kind of do the whole like, you know, and like just release breath, because it was just releasing stress. You know, I think yesterday was a lot more about like wanting to channel strength. So I actually made it kind of a somewhat active meditation where it was, you know, like focusing on tensing and releasing muscles. And like sometimes I do find that my brain just completely goes, and like, you know, an hour's gone past, I'm like, shit, like where I was gone then.
So you just kind of like go with the flow.
Yeah. Like it's not making it right or wrong. You know, I think, I guess my perspective on meditation now is that whatever is perfect. You know what I mean? And if that means that your brain is racing, then that's cool. Like don't try, and I think the more you resist something, the more it persists. So if your brain is racing, and sometimes mine still does, it's like, okay, well, cool. Like that's how it needs to be.
Yeah. You know? That really makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that's helpful.
It definitely is. Cause I just know the research I've done in meditation in the past is like, you've got to quieten the monkey mind. I'm like, wow, how though?
I think that comes with time though, you know, like
with experience, practice.
And like, and I mean, even as I said, like sometimes my mind still does just race, you know. A lot of the time I do find, as soon as, because like I'll do it with like just relaxing music on in the background, and a lot of the time as soon as I do sit down, it's like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing, and then my brain just calms. But sometimes it still does race, so it's just whatever will be, you know?
Yeah. A more relaxed approach. I think that's what I need to do. It's like relaxed approach to meditation. Like, what a cliche. I need to chill out in my meditation part.
it's like what you said with like your training, you know, with clients. When they get sick, it's not, okay, let's fight against that and try and still get into the gym and train. It's like, okay, well, if that's what's come up, that's exactly what you need. You know, like I always think of the challenge as the way.
Yeah, definitely. That really helps.
Cool. I'm glad. cool. There was something I wanted to touch on. It's gone now. That's all right. But no, I love that you push the, you know, the internal work as well as the external work. Because I think, yeah, as I said, that is a game changer. I think everyone's so focused on changing, you know, whether it be, you know, their body or whether it be they're looking to earn more money or, you know, we're always looking externally and very rarely do people actually stop and come back within.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the change really happens.
And, like, this is only something I've really picked up this year in the fact that I found that I was kind of keeping myself distracted by being busy. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap, like, have I just been avoiding this whole situation by just busying myself in my work and not actually, and it might sound really, really woo-woo, but I think unless you've kind of like gone back and like, you know, people always throw around old journal, you know, do this meditation, like that kind of thing. But unless you kind of really like understand how you have been approaching life every single day, and it's not until this year I've realized that like I had just been burying my head in the sand and just focusing on my work rather than like being my best self for my clients and focusing on how I can be the best leader and get my message out there the best way I can. And yeah, so I think that's just been a big eye opener for me this year. And yeah, in that I was being like more relaxed with everything else.
Yeah.
So, and I've been, you know, helping more gals as well. So. Yeah, it's a huge thing, a huge thing.
Yeah, I always think like, because I mean, as I said, like I'm a doer and like I love working on, you know, like my physique. I love building the business. I love, you know, always trying to optimize life and earn more money or like, you know, perform better in whatever aspect. But I also think that, what's the quote? The tallest trees have to have the deepest roots.
Mm.
And so, like the wake up call for me was that if I wanted to do, you know, if I wanted to grow everything externally, the quickest way was actually to go internally and like lay down really strong roots or lay down really strong foundations, which then I guess creates the quote unquote capacity to, you know, grow taller.
Yeah. And what's been really helping me, like say if I unnecessarily stress about a situation or it's just draining my energy more than I need to, we're like, okay, like, is where I want to be, is that Ellie? Would she be reacting in that way?
Yes.
Like, so I don't know whether you've heard, like, okay, there's where you are now and then there's where you want to be. And you just have to be the person at plan B.
Yeah.
Not the person at plan A. Like, you have to be. So that's just what I've been asking myself if I realize that I'm, you know, being unnecessarily draining my energy, stressing, worrying about stuff that, you know, won't even happen because overthinking is like, really common.
Yeah.
And then just, that just kind of pulls me back. And I think that's the same with diet, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're asking yourself, should you go on this crash diet? Well, no, because the person you want to be wouldn't go for that cleanse or whatever.
I often ask myself the question, like, how would the next level Bree show up? How would, as wanky as it sounds, how would the highest version of Bree show up?
How
would she navigate this? What would she do?
And
like, it's not, it's definitely not always easy because sometimes like what the highest version of Bree would do is scary as fuck for like current Bree. But I also think that kind of bridges the gap because it's like, well, like it's right there. Like I've just told myself that this is how the highest level of Bree would show up. So like I know exactly what I want to do if I want to be her, you know? So it kind of, I guess, it bridges that gap. It makes you have like the plan, so to speak, you know, they're easy. Okay, well. Like the to-do list, you know?
Yeah. And usually if it scares you, it means you should do it.
Exactly.
Like even the weights room, like girls like, I'm too scared to go in there. I'm like, man, it means you should just do it.
Yeah. Was there ever a time you were scared of the weights room?
So much.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally. I only got into the weights room because I went with my brothers the very first time. Well, the very first time I used to go to the gym with my dad, he's a fireman. And I used to go there and it was really quiet, so it was fine. But when I joined like a really busy gym, you know, like a corporate gym, and there's like bros grunting and like, you know, curling in the squat rack, I was really, really scared. Yeah. I used to do pump class and that was probably, and run on the treadmill and that was about it. But, you know, like after a while, you just, once you break it, like it just comes easy. Like even like me talking on this podcast, like, I know even before I did my Instagram stories, maybe I would have found that really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But now that I've been doing that and it's become the norm, that it's really easy. And it was exactly the same like with the weights room. Once I just developed that confidence and I kind of just started not caring what other people thought, it became the norm. And you know what? Like, I don't know whether you saw my post. It said like people are going to judge no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So you may as well do what you want to do.
Exactly.
And like obviously proper form and learning, and obviously don't go in there and bloody, I don't know, do something that's wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you just have to do what you can and break the comfort zone and do it.
Yeah. Mm. I remember like back when I first started going to the gym, it was funny. It was like there was this invisible line where like this is where I'm comfy, but like that's too much of the boys area.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember like I just kind of slowly like creep a little bit more in.
Yeah.
And then one day I just went, you know what? Like no one even really
cares.
You know, and the funniest thing was it wasn't until there was one specific day where I was like, I was shitting it. And I was sitting there, I was doing this exercise and I was like right on that, like the line.
The invisible line.
And I'm like, okay, so after I finish this set, what am I going to do? Am I going to go back to like where I'm comfy, or do I actually go do what I want to do and go pick up those dumbbells like in the boys area? You know? And it was so funny because this guy actually came up and started talking to me. And so I'm like, I kind of had this realization that like a lot of the time what we think – because I thought the boys were looking at me as in judging me. And then, I had this dude come up and actually start hitting on me. And I was like, fuck.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The realization was like, oh, fuck. Like, I thought these boys were looking at me going, she doesn't belong here. What's she doing?
Mm.
And, like, in this case, it was something completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of went, well, fuck. Like, anything that I think – other people are thinking about me is just my own stuff.
Yeah, like you know? It's just like a story.
It's not fact. Yeah.
Just a story you build up in your head and like make up in your own mind. And yeah, like they don't care. Mm. Like, and you know what? There's not as many of them in there as you think there are anyway. Like, they like it's really just built up in your own head. So once you break it, it's fine, right?
Yeah. And you know, like a lot of the time, I'm a big believer that everything is always in a perfect balance.
Mm.
So for every person that judges you negatively, there's also someone else who's judging you positively, you know, and vice versa.
Mm.
So yeah, like I'm sure there is, you know, someone there who's thinking badly of you, which that's their shit, you know, it actually has nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
it's just
a
reflection of where they're at. But at the same time, for that one person, there's also someone who's like, fuck yes, queen. Like,
And like who you're inspiring to do the same thing as well. So, like, and that's a huge thing. And I know that's been a big case for a lot of my clients as well, who like, you know, they took the leap and they, you know, they're getting in the gym and they're doing their thing and they start seeing changes. And then, you know, family members or friends are like, oh my gosh, like maybe I should start doing this. As well. So like, you know, you have to think about the people who you are inspiring as well. And like a few of my clients are like, no, I didn't inspire that. But I'm like, yeah, you did. And then I have to get them to show them and tell them. And it's a great thing. It's a little ripple effect. Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time we don't actually realize who we've inspired. Maybe we never find out, but you know, sometimes it's not till years later. Like here it is. What? It was 2012 that you,
I didn't know till today.
And like, and it was literally, it was you that like sealed the deal in my brain. And I'm like, I want to compete.
That makes me.
And it, like, that's what, like seven, what are we now? 2019, 7 years later. So.
And how many comps did you do?
It was only two. I've done three preps. Funnily enough, I started prepping last year and then got into, I think, 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? If I'm really fucking honest with myself, like my work and my travel is way more important.
Yeah.
And like, I shocked myself because I'd been kind of on the fence about whether I wanted to compete again for ages.
Yeah.
And because I love the structural side of it.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer that like those animalistic kind of primal things like food and, you know, I'm big on martial arts. So food, fighting, those kind of things are always a really good insight into who we are at our core.
Mm.
And so like I jumped into this prep going, okay, well, I'm going to follow this super structured diet to see what comes up, to see what it brings up in me. And I loved it. I think it was 22-week total prep. Yeah. But I dropped down to 6 weeks out from comp. So whatever the maths is, my maths is fucking shocking. What's that? 16 weeks total. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I loved the whole process and like I feel like I learned heaps through it. But what made me pull out was that I was like, I can't be fucked with the whole hair, makeup, bikini, tan, all of that.
I hear you with that one.
So it was like, it was actually, it wasn't any of the process. It was just like the comp day shit. Like, yeah. I was like, I can't be fucked. I can't be fucked having to do the whole tan up process and like,
it's exhausting. Like that was a full day of just like tanning and posing. And
I'm like, if I could just walk up on stage and like just pose and then leave, I'd be down.
Mm.
But like, it's the, you know,
the whole day.
Yeah. And like just having to, get my hair done, get my makeup done that morning, like
and make practicing sure my tan's posing, on point. And
And like, so I pulled out 6 weeks out, and that was that.
Well, I think you made the right decision.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a priority for you right now. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Was it in, and you would you have to have travelled as well?
No. The one I was doing was here in Adelaide.
Oh, okay.
But the problem, because I travel heaps with work.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The problem was that it was like, it was like the test, right? Like, how bad you actually want to do this? Because I had, I think, like 5 different things pop up all on comp day. And I was like, fuck, like, I want to do this, but like, I've committed to this comp and like, there wasn't really any other comps that I was interested in doing that were like around that date. So I'm like, and then, when I realized how much I was like, nah, like, I really would rather do like any of these 5 things that's not the comp. Like, I'm like, I got to get honest with myself. And, so basically, you know, as soon as I kind of pulled the pin on that, then I actually did go travel. So
No, perfect. I think you made the right decision for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Cool. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I think I've kind of like, we've gone over everything pretty thoroughly, right? Yeah. Like internal stuff, foods,
trainings. Actually, let's touch on, because I mean, you do If It Fits Your Macros now, yeah?
Yes.
So I know diddly squat about If It Fits Your Macros. I did it really, really briefly, like maybe, fuck, what would have been like 4 years ago, and it wasn't right for me where I was at then. But I think that was more headspace than anything.
Yeah, it is tough in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, when my coach was like, okay, I'm not giving you a written diet plan anymore. I want you to do this. I cried. Like, I was like, what do I do? Like, how? What? Like, I have to do this myself.
Yeah.
And it is pretty tough in the beginning. And, like, the biggest excuse – well, not excuse – the biggest reason that I get for people not wanting to do it is they feel too overwhelmed or it's too much time or whatever. But once all the foods are scanned in, like, you're literally writing your own template basically for a food plan. And you can just, like, you don't have to scan it in every single day. You can copy that one day and chuck it to the next one without having to scan it all in again. So it is a little bit of like, oh my God, I'm scanning in all my foods in the beginning.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I think once you get that hard hurdle over, like, do you tend to eat the same foods?
Yeah, generally.
And you just kind of just, but at the same time, it's just being mindful. Yeah. Like I said, like on my last post, like if you're having a high carb dinner, like eat high protein breakfast and lunch, you know? And just be mindful of that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So just, balancing your day out.
I love, a friend of mine posted, the other day, and this was like a wake up call for me because she follows If It Fits Your Macros as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm I'm really mindful of mine, but like I don't track. Like I just, like you said, like I know that generally like dinner time is when I go a bit heavier on the carbs. Yeah. So I just try and eat higher protein during the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, she put up a thing on her Instagram story and it was just a quote, and because she's big on preaching like intuitive eating.
Mm.
And it was like, oh, I'm trying to think exactly, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was basically like, how can you intuitively eat if you don't actually know what you're eating?
Mm.
And so it's like kind of doing the If It Fits Your Macros, like it may not necessarily be forever. Like there's no right or wrong. Like if it works for people, it works for people. But like it may not necessarily be forever, but it serves as a good way to like first start to understand and gain knowledge of what's in your food.
Yeah.
And then whether you do want to continue tracking forever or not, like at least now you have that, you're not just kind of guessing.
Yeah, totally. And like sometimes it can just make people aware. Like, like ice cream, for example, like there's one brand of ice cream, like same, but different, but like one's like, you know, a lot lower in sugar and lower in carbs than the other choice.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and it just makes you aware about like checking nutrition labels every now and then. And so like some of my clients, I'm like, look, just aim for one day a week, and then they make the necessary tweaks they need to do for the rest of the week and be like, okay, you need to add protein to this meal, because so many girls like don't get their protein in and they wonder why they're hungry, know? So yeah, like just makes you aware what tweaks you need to make for the rest of the week. It doesn't have to be like a lifelong thing, but it can definitely make you mindful and aware of the changes you need to make in your foods to make you better with training and that kind of thing as well. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah. I like to think of it as, again, it's the long game. And I think in order to do well with the long game, you have to kind of like think of life as like an experiment, you know, like you have, the more experiments you have, the better, right?
Yeah.
So the more you know, the more you learn. So like, you know, to me, if it fits your macros is the perfect way to start to like gain that knowledge of
And it doesn't have to be perfect as well. I think like some people log in and be like, oh my God, like I need to hit what MyFitnessPal recommends. It's like, no, just like ignore MyFitnessPal. Like just start scanning stuff in. Like just maybe start like, if your goal is fat loss, just start scanning stuff in and being a little bit aware of your portions. Like doesn't have to be perfect. Just start getting the hang of it. Yeah. And you'll get better.
Yeah. Mm. Well, as I said, when I first started doing If It Fits Your Macros like ages ago, I realized, because as I said, I did the whole yo-yo, like extreme dieting, like following to a T this diet plan, and then I just blow out and just like anything that wasn't on the plan, give it to me.
Yeah.
And so when I first started tracking, I was like, whoa, like I never realized how carb heavy my meals are. No wonder I feel fucking sluggish.
Yeah.
You know? And so like that for me, even though I didn't continue with If It Fits Your Macros, because at that time in my life, it was just too overwhelming for me personally. Mm. Now I wholeheartedly believe in it, but like at that time it was exactly what I needed, where I went like, holy fuck, like there's that bit of knowledge I need to, even if I don't continue with it, I can alter things, you know, like I know that I need to just calm it down.
Yeah.
The carbs.
I was actually the other way around. Like I would crave carbs like a bitch. And I realized like after a while, my split was actually like completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, so I was way too high protein and not enough carbs. And once I like, you know, got higher carb split, I was fine.
Yeah.
And like I might crave every now and then, but like, it's nothing like overbearing, you know what I mean? So I think like it's just a fine line of what you kind of feel good on.
Definitely. And I think, it's it kind of having that data in front of you does allow you to go, okay, well, what's working, what's not, what can I change? You know, for me, like I'm very aware that because I am slightly insulin resistant, I'm way better on fats. Like I know that like when it comes to my training, my lifting skyrockets when I'm on higher fats.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when I go more carb heavy, like that's when I start to feel a little bit more sluggish and like, you know, like my weights, you know, what I can lift drops off.
Mm.
And so like that's not right or wrong, but it's just I know that when I'm trying to pull some big numbers, higher on the fats, lower on the carbs.
And like, you feel good for it, right?
Yeah, and it's wicked having that knowledge and going, you know, instead of just going, fuck, like why this week do I feel really weak and sluggish and, you know, whatever else, I can just go, okay, well, I know it's because I've made the choice this week to eat slightly higher in carbs.
Yeah, and like the fact you're aware of that and you feel like good about that, it means you're in like a good place.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Perfect.
Good.
Cool. Perfect. Social media links, where can everyone find you?
So my Instagram name is at LEELLIE _ Finlay, FINLAY.
Beautiful.
So yeah, find me on there. And yeah, of course my Facebook page is just Ellie Finlay PT currently. So
cool. Yes. And have you still got the offer for the ebook? Is that still where can people get that? Because I grabbed that, what was it? Maybe 6 weeks ago, I was out on the road and I was like,
did you have a read?
Yeah, it was really good. Oh, like, thanks. I feel like you broke it down. So yeah,
cool.
Can you lead everyone where to get that?
The link is just in my Instagram bio.
Perfect.
So if you just go to my Instagram page, it's called Burgers, Brunches and a Badass Body. So yeah, just click that. It's just eat out, drop fat. Eat out, drop fat. That's my dog, everyone. so go suss it, give it a download.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you, Mega Heaps.
No worries.
So standard procedure. I always like to point you towards my stuff post podcast. So you can find all my stuff on socials. Of course, if you want to check out our career development programs for athletes, entrepreneurs, entertainers, and influencers, then feel free at the Live Free Academy on both Instagram and Facebook, or www.thelivefreeacademy.com.au. If you want to check out my mindset-based performance coaching and consulting, you can do so by checking out the Live Free Movement on both Facebook and Instagram. The Live Free Experience, of course, we've got our own little Instagram happening over there on Instagram. And finally, if you want to check out what I'm up to in the world and my personal journey, then feel free by searching Brianna Bowley on both Instagram or heading to facebook.com/Brianna Bowley Coach. And until next time, what else is possible?